And it's like, I know it's like we're just doing festival after festival, but I gotta say, like, I went to the
Food & Wine. We love a festival. I want to go to the festival. I wish to go to the festival.
The King's Festival. The King's Festival?
The festival.
Yes, you're so good at that.
Hello, and welcome to Poor Unfortunate Podcast. I'm Connor Perkins.
And I'm Caroline A. Meddy.
Welcome to all of our returning listeners. It's great having you here with us. And for anybody who's new, thanks for joining us. Don't forget to hit follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. That way, all of our episodes download right to your device. You don't miss out on anything. And then remember to hit 5 stars and leave a review after everything is said and done, just to let us know what you thought of the podcast and help other people find it as well. Caroline, what's new?
Well, the biggest news I would say is that the Oscar nominations just came out. So
yeah, they did.
Walk us through these nominations. You're the king of the awards shows. So yeah, let us know.
Favorite season awards. Best animated feature, Luca, Encanto, Raya and the Last Dragon. Best original score, Jermaine Franco for Encanto. Best original song, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Encanto, Dos Oruguitas. And then Cruella was nominated for best hair and makeup styling and costume design. And then Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings was nominated for visual effects. So it's a pretty good one. Personally, I'm pulling for Raya in animated feature.
You love Raya. Yeah.
I love Raya. Mm-hmm. I love Raya. It really hit me. I was like, that's some good shit. Yeah. So
I hope the votes don't get split. Yeah. I'm curious to see. Yeah. I don't know.
Watch Luca takes it.
I was going to say, so please, no. Oh my God. I'm such a hater though. God. I was thinking about Luca today and I'm like, I really am a hater. There were also a lot of nominations for West Side Story, which will be dropping on Disney Plus in March. So that counts.
Academy Award nominee Ariana DeBose.
Yes. There's nothing like seeing a Broadway gal just make her way. Oh,
just
man.
Get hers.
Get it.
Good for her.
Yes.
Some other Disney news that's happening. So I hardly ever talk about this, but in the video game world, there's some stuff that's happening with Disney.
Oh.
So today, when we're recording this, is the 20th anniversary of Kingdom Hearts. So
what? That makes me feel really old.
So you're welcome, everyone. Nintendo finally listened to the letter that I sent them 20 years ago, begging them to bring Kingdom Hearts to a Nintendo console. And they did. So now all of the Kingdom Hearts games are going to be available on the Nintendo Switch. The cloud version's available today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like,
oh my gosh.
It's happening. You're welcome. However old me made that happen for you.
Thank you.
You've
always been working for us. Thanks.
And then the other thing that was announced today was Disney Speedstorm, which is their new kart racing game that's coming to PC and consoles. So I don't know if anyone remembers years and years and years and years and years ago, there was a PC game called Disney Magical Racers, where you were different Disney characters and you race through like Disney World attractions and things like that. This feels like they took that and then just like put it on a buttload of crack and speed and then made that happen. So like I'm looking at it, you can play as Pixar characters, you can play as like other characters in like racing gear. Like Mulan's wearing like racing gear and you're like going through this track that's like Pirates of the Caribbean themed and it looks freaking cool.
Wow.
So I'm super excited about that.
Oh, I didn't know anything about that. Oh, cool.
Yeah, the trailer just dropped today.
Did you ever play, I don't know if we've talked about this before, there was I think it was for all consoles, I think I played it on Xbox, there was this skateboarding Disney game.
No, I don't think I did.
Oh my God, I wish I could remember the name. I have to ask people online.
You're not talking Disney Infinity stuff, right?
No. Okay. Oh my gosh, TBT. Oh my gosh. I remember I had so many of those figures for a little while, and then it just like was over. And then it was just done.
Yeah. I never got into Disney Infinity, which I think was a good thing for me because it would have been bad.
Oh my!
It would have been really, really bad. Even for me,
you know, I'm not a big video game player, but just the fact that I could get the figurine with it, it was not good. Yeah, it was not.
I loved Epic Mickey for the Wii.
Oh,
that game was so much fun.
Was that only on Wii?
Yeah, it was only on Wii, I believe, for a period of time, and then I think they expanded it to something else, but. That one, it's with the paintbrush, and, like, you would wave the Wii remote around as the paintbrush to, like, paint stuff.
That's so cool.
It was a lot of fun. And you got, with the game, you got a controller that was a paintbrush. It was shaped like a paintbrush.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's you. Yeah, that's I love so that you. Game. Oh, another piece of Disney news is that the Beauty and the Beast prequel that was in the works for Disney Plus has now been shelved. They were supposed to start filming that in the spring, summer-ish. And then just apparently things just – they announced the cast and everything. But yeah. Things just weren't
they
coming together.
They added people to the cast too.
Yeah, they did. But apparently just like the story and the music weren't quite coming together and they didn't want to push the shoot until the fall because of actor availability and all this stuff. So they've just shelved it for now. And I was pretty excited about that, especially because it was a musical. But that's a lot of work too. So I'm kind of not surprised. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, also Disney Plus stuff, Obi-Wan Kenobi is coming out in May.
Oh my gosh, that looks so good.
So, yeah. I mean, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Parks. I haven't really heard anything new happening.
Yeah. I wonder what'll be happening as far as masks in the parks. I know it's different everywhere, but in New York, like our mask mandate just ended. So I'm curious to see what'll happen in California and in Florida with the parks.
Well, I mean, the Festival of the Arts just started, I think, in Epcot.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I haven't been watching my vloggers, so I feel so out of the loop, but I've been catching up. And oh my gosh, like Festival of the Arts food looks absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I've been to the Food and Wine Festival twice, and like, I don't know, this is going to sound so bizarre, but there were very few things that I was like, wow, that was delicious. And then I saw these booths at the Festival of the Arts, and just like the one that was near France alone, I was like drooling. It looks so good. Next year, we have to go. We have to go.
Festival of the Arts, baby.
We can see the Broadway people sing. It would be great.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing that I'm like, gotta get to Disneyland for these parties. Sweetheart Night at Disneyland looks awesome. Like, there are all these rare, like, character moments. Like, Meg and Herc are there, and, like, Snow White in her peasant dress. It just looks so cute.
Oh, yeah, the peasant dress.
Yeah, it just looks so adorable.
Give me Briar Rose.
Yeah.
That peasant dress.
Listen, the people have spoken. We want, yes, yes.
All right. Well, I think that's it on Disney news. So for this episode, we are back to tips and tricks. And for this one, because this is going to be coming out on Valentine's Day. Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day.
We're going to lean into the season of love. And we're going to give you some tips and tricks around love. And now I know for a lot of people, Valentine's Day can be like a thing where, you know, if you're single, it's like, oh, this sucks. Or if you're in a couple and it's like, oh, we feel like we have an obligation to make something. Mm. We're going to look at love in all kinds of different ways today.
Yeah.
So it's not just going to be romance. There's a lot of different ways to love. And Valentine's Day is a celebration of love. So
that's
what we're going to be doing. So we're really dividing this into two different parts. So the first part, we're going to play a little bit of like a game where, but we're going to justify it being a tips and tricks because what we're going to do is randomly select two characters and then create their ideal first date.
So if you like any of them, you can steal the idea.
Yeah, exactly. And then after that, we're going to go into 10 Disney do's around love and 10 Disney don'ts around love. So that's kind of what the structure is going to be for this episode. So let's kick it off with our date night.
Yay.
All right. So, Caroline, I have a list of 50 Disney characters, all numbered.
Okay.
So Pick two numbers.
All right. 17 and 43.
Ooh. 17 is Jim Hawkins from Treasure Planet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and 43 is Abuelo Pedro from Encanto. Oh, my God. What is their date? Do you want to do a different one?
So hard. No, okay. No, I got this. They're okay. Going on a date. I need to help them.
Yeah.
Oh.
I want to watch this date.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like it's going to have something to do with, like, I feel like it would be a museum date or, like, botanical gardens kind of thing. Something where there's history in there, something with learning, connecting to the past, connecting to mythology. I feel like I would totally, yeah, I feel like they would go to, like, a sculpture garden. That's where I would send them. Yeah, I would send them to a sculpture garden, maybe have a little picnic on the grounds.
Mm.
And then I feel like they would finish the day, evening, off with, like, I don't know, like a cappuccino. I can't explain why, but it just feels right. It's simple, but it's sophisticated. Yeah.
Cool.
That's what I offer them.
Cool.
A coffee and a walk through a sculpture garden. All right. I have a list of 30 Disney characters.
Great.
Connor, pick two numbers.
3 and 30.
Okay.
Is it Jim Hawkins and Abuelo Pedro?
No. All right. Number 3 is Ren Stevens from Even Stevens.
Oh.
And 30 is Grandmother Willow. I feel like they'd have a good time together in a way.
No, they absolutely would have a good time. I mean, travel is sort of like not really Grandmother Willow's thing.
Yeah, no, it's going to be stationary.
So it's definitely going to be like Grandmother Willow's going to have Ren over to her place. And I think what it's really going to be is it's kind of like a therapy session, to be honest, because Ren is just going to unload all of the like worries and like type A personality stuff that she's going to have. And then Grandmother Willow's really just going to like distill it down to be like, yo, breathe. And then this date's going to be like a one and done kind of deal because Grandmother Willow's going to be like, this is a lot for me to take on. You're a perfectionist. I'm going to give you some peace and I'm going to send you on your way, little child. So
that's, oh, wait, that we should make that part of it too. Will there be a second date?
Sure.
Would Jim get a second date? Yeah, I feel like they would have a second date.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ren, not so much. Sorry, Ren.
Yeah, sorry, Ren.
Okay.
All right. Pick two.
Okay, 4 and 22.
All right, so it's Aurora.
Okay.
And Andy's mom.
I feel like they would just totally go to a dive bar and just get absolutely shit-faced. Like, Andy's mom is stressed. but I feel like it could get kind of like, I feel like they'd go a little bit like Coyote Ugly and start dancing on the bar by the end of the night, the two of them. Yeah. I feel like that'd be quite the combination.
Yeah, I sort of see, like, Andy's mom, like, she's like, I'm just trying to feel something
again
in my life.
I feel like there would be a second date, but then I do not think it would progress after that. Because I feel like they would be like, this is pretty shallow. This is all it is, really. And this is
like side chick kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're talking about this seriously.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Poor Unfortunate Podcast.
Okay. All right. The two numbers.
13 and 21.
13 is Bear from Bear in the Big Blue House. And 21 is Heimlich.
Oh, this pair, I actually think they do really well together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that honestly, the two of them would probably go to like an amazing, like fruit place, not like a Jamba Juice or something like that with like a lot of like
an acai bowl smoothie, place but kind
of
thing.
Yeah, like an acai bowl sort of thing where they can just like have like an all you can eat like fruit buffet. I feel like the two of them would just go nuts on nuts and berries and fruits and things like that.
Oh, that's I
think, I think they're definitely eating on their first date.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think that they're going to connect over a lot of things that they really care about in terms of just like, you know, leading with love and things like that. I honestly think that they would have a second date. And I honestly think this relationship could go all the way. I ship it.
The visual of it is killing me.
I ship it. A bear and a caterpillar. I ship it.
We 100% need to have everybody vote on all of these and be like, which couple of these is going all the way? Like,
I think it's Baron Heimlich. That's my money's on so Baron Heimlich right now.
This all is right. Hilarious. Give me another one.
Pick two.
Okay. Seven. Seven and eight.
Oh. Wreck-It Ralph and Pocahontas.
Oh, wow. Ooh. That's an odd couple.
That's truly an odd couple. How did they both swipe right?
Okay. They're going to do something like athletic kind of, I want to say.
Sure.
I was going to say they were going to go to one of those like smash it rooms, you know, where you can like smash plates for a while.
Yes.
I feel like that might be good. That'll definitely be good for Ralph. But then I feel like
Pocahontas would love that shit.
Yeah. Like she'll be like, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm like getting out my frustration right now. I don't think that they would even like go for like a drink after. I think they'll be like, cool, okay. Like,
yeah, they were like, we both needed this. Thank you for
being
my excuse to go into the smash.
They're going to now, they're just going to meet up twice a year and go do that together and just not say anything else to each other, but be like, thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, they'll also like text in case of emergency, like, I need the smash it room, and be like, great.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like two friends that like you'd never ever think that they were friends, but they just like happen to do this like one thing together. Yeah. I see that.
Yeah.
Cool.
This is so funny. All right, go ahead.
27 and 9.
Oh, okay. So 27 is Daisy Duck.
Okay.
And 9 is Lady Tremaine.
Oh.
I think the
two of them have a little bit more in common than they probably would want to admit.
They do. Yeah.
Honestly, I think they would probably start out at a Starbucks and they would probably both get really, really upset with their baristas over their drinks and start like going full Karen. And then I think they would like have a moment where they look at each other and be like, wait. Are we both Karen? And then they would probably go the rest of the night going from different like small business, essentially just like torturing minimum wage employees by just like throwing fits.
Oh my God. Okay.
Do I see them dating again? Honestly, like I see a second date in their future.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
I think it's toxic. I think it's dangerous, but I see a second date.
Yeah, it'll run its course eventually, but
they're gonna be villains. Like, this is Daisy's dark side.
Yeah. Okay. 10 and 45.
Robin Hood and Milo Thatch.
Oh my God. I'm into that.
Twitter Pat.
I'm into that. I kind of just want them to like just have like a romantic candle at dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want them to have like a beautiful dinner by the water. Take a long
fireflies.
Walk afterwards. Fireflies. Yes. Yes. Like a guitar player.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's going to be a long-term relationship.
That's an LTR.
Yes.
That's an LTR.
Yes, it is. Oh, God.
I choose numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do 1 and 4.
Huh. Oh. Number 1 is Merlin. And number 4 is Hades.
Oh.
Hmm.
This date is not going to go well at all. They are going to get really, really frustrated with each other quickly.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if this date will make it beyond texting, to be honest, because that's funny. I think their difference, like, I don't think that they will be able to agree on something that I feel like Merlin would want to do something historical, something with learning, and Hades is like, I probably want to go to like a monster truck rally, and Merlin's like, I don't want to do that. So if there was a way, I think that they may, I think Merlin might be a pushover and they're at the monster truck rally, but Merlin's got his head in a book.
Oh my God.
So there's not a second date here.
Okay.
Oh my God. Does that feel right?
It does. It
does. Okay. Or like a wrestling right. match or something. Like,
oh my God, the fact something... that you said monster truck is so funny. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. 32 and 39.
Oh. Pacha.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiana.
Oh.
This is very pure.
Oh, it is. Okay. They would go to, like, they would go to a farmer's market.
Mm.
They would have, like, an afternoon date. They would go to a farmer's market, stroll around, and then what are they going to do afterwards? I feel like it would be one of those things where they had an afternoon date to be like, let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
And then they end up spending all day together. And then they actually, like, at night, like, they find themselves, they're, like, not at the club, but they're, like, out dancing. And they're like, oh, my gosh, it's the end of the day. I'm having a really good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see them meeting at the farmer's market. Like, he has a stall and she's, like, walking through. Aww. And, like, comes over to us. And, like, they just strike up, like, a really good conversation. Oh. I could see, like, that's where, like, it starts. And then they do, like, a walk on his lunch break. And then she waits until after they get off.
Yeah.
And then.
Then they get dinner, like, and then it's all of a sudden they're out. Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe she even cooks something for him.
Yeah, with stuff from his stall. Yeah.
Or, no, that's date number two. She comes back to his farmer market stall, and she's like, I made you this.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, I ship this.
Yeah.
I ship this.
Let me think.
I'm like a bear, and Tiana and Pacha.
Couples of the year.
Followed very closely by Daisy and Lady Tremaine.
Oh, God.
14 and... 25.
Oh. So we have Celia from Monsters, Inc.
Okay.
And Remy.
Huh. I think Remy would just invite Celia to his restaurant, La Ratatouille.
Yeah. And she would love that, too. She'd love
that. He would just be like, let me just get you one of everything and just make you feel like a queen. And she would sit there all night with her glass of wine. He would run back and forth to the kitchen bringing her new dishes that he's trying. And he's feeling very inspired by her. And I think she's just, like, completely smitten with him.
Aw, yeah.
And I think he just loves having someone who, like, appreciates the kind of lifestyle that he likes of, like, going out to dinner and, like, you know, that sort of, not nightlife, but just sort of, like,
but they do match on
upscale,
that level, yeah.
Upscale dining experiences. Yeah. I feel like that's their vibe. And I think right from night one, like, one of the reasons she's attracted to him is he owns his own restaurant. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, first date, like, you're going to come to my restaurant and I'm going to make you feel like a goddess.
She would love that. Oh, she would love that. Oh, I'm happy for her.
Mm. Yeah. And there would be a second date.
Yes.
Easy. Yeah. I think that could go LTR too.
Yeah. I do too. Oh, that's nice.
Good for them.
Good for them.
I'm proud of them.
All right. 6 and 26.
Oh my God. Flynn Rider.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay.
And Megara.
The game is over. The game's over. This is, like, first of all, my dream. Like, I feel like I would totally make this up in my head. Oh my God. They're getting married, first of all. Let's just set that straight.
First date, they're married.
Wow. I feel like they go. I feel like, oh yeah, they would go to, like, a show or a concert.
What's the vibe of the show or concert?
Yeah, yeah. More, something more sophisticated, sultry a little. Maybe they go to a jazz club.
Like Moulin Rouge?
Yeah, or they go to see Moulin Rouge. gosh. Why can I see that? Yeah. Or something like immersive.
Oh, yeah.
And they would like definitely have a nice dinner. But then I feel like he would like take her to the top of like the Empire State Building or something at the end of the night. Oh, like they're surprise in New York.
Yeah,
they're in New York. Yeah. Yeah, he would like take her to the top of like the Empire State Building at the end of the night as a surprise and like really. Oh, my God. And they would totally just make out.
Are they going back to an apartment on date one?
Yes.
Whose?
Hers.
Oh. Mm-hmm. What's it look like?
It's purple.
Oh, okay.
And they get married. And they live happily ever after.
Okay.
All right. This is my favorite pairing so far. Yes.
Okay. So this will be the last one.
Okay.
9 and 16.
Oh, well, you said 9 already, so give me another number.
Oh, my God. I don't know my numbers.
No, how can you remember?
1 and 16.
Oh, you did 1 already as well.
Oh, my God. 4 and 16.
You did 4 already.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I didn't give you as many options as you gave me.
No. It's totally
16,
fine.
You're just, good. 16, I'm you just can a use. Dunce.
16 and 27.
You used 27?
Sixteen and 25.
You said 25.
No. Well, I can only think of the same numbers. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
16. I wanted to say 4 again, but I know I already said 4. No. 16.
Uh-huh.
And 8.
Oh.
Do we have a 16 winner?
16 is Ray.
Oh.
And 8 is Aladdin.
Oh, my God. I ship this.
I ship
hard.
Too. Yeah, I do too.
I think they're just going to go like on an exploring date together. Like almost to like, if they've got like ancient ruins nearby, they would sort of go to like some ancient ruins. They would go beyond the little like roped off area and then just start like exploring together. Or I could also see them doing like an adventure park sort of thing, like a parkour kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then afterwards, I think they would probably go like into like an open air market or something like that, just sort of like walking around, talking. And then to close the evening, I think they would probably like grab some food somewhere and take it to go and then go to like a really, really beautiful hill with like some sort of epic landscape.
Yes.
And just have like a
That's exactly
picnic together.
Right. Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Are they going to make it?
I think they're going to make it. I think they could make it.
I think 100%. So, too. I actually, in a way, could see them working out even better than Flynn and Meg. I feel like Flynn and Meg could fight a lot.
Sure.
But like Ray and Aladdin, that could work.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Good one.
This is so fun. I why I love this. Thank you.
All of our happy couples on their date nights. Yeah. We hope that, you know, you're taking our date night advice, couples out there, and finding love, whatever that means to you.
Yes,
or going to a monster truck rally. All right. So moving on to the second part of the episode. So this is where we're going to go through some of our tips for you on love that we're getting from Disney of things to do and things that you don't want to do when it comes to love.
Great.
So for love do's, I'm going to look at a more romantic kind of couple here. Mm-hmm. I would say that you would probably want to be like Bernard and Bianca in The Rescuers. I think that they're a great couple. While they're not fully in a relationship in the movie, clearly we're going that direction. There's some romance. Mm-hmm. There's some spice happening between the two of them. But I think one of the most important things about them is they're not afraid to ask for help from one another. They share their fears with one another, and they try each other's ideas pretty willingly. And I think those are three really, really good things to do in a relationship or just as a way of expressing love. They completely bring out the best in each other. Like, Bianca helps Bernard be brave, I guess, when Bernard's superstitious nature sort of gets the better of him. And Bernard, he backs Bianca and he protects her when she needs to take the lead. So he's just like always there for her. And I think he kind of curbs a couple of her more wild or outgoing or like not thinking things all the way through. They're just a really good match for each other. They balance each other really well. And I think that's a that's a good, healthy relationship for the two of them.
Oh, yes.
A janitor and a lady.
Okay, hopping over to the don'ts category. One of the don'ts that I would follow is don't rush into commitment if your lifestyles and values don't quite align. So here I'm looking at Anakin Skywalker and Padme Amidala.
Ooh.
I secretly kind of love them together, but then you look at it, but I wouldn't wish their relationship on anybody. Anakin always put Padme on a pedestal after she was his first childhood crush and then his first love, and it made him blindly believe that they could get past their continued separation because of their respected positions, her in the Senate, him in the Grand Army of the Republic. And their very different ideologies concerning like war and diplomacy. He tells her that the galaxy should be run by a dictator, which is pretty much a direct attack on everything that she stands for.
She's
her
a senator.
Career.
She's a senator. Yeah. He's basically saying, like, you shouldn't have your job.
Yeah. Run. So not really compatible. So it's like, does he really love who she truly is? You have to know that before you marry someone. And then their marriage was a secret, and that put so much pressure, at times leading to toxic tendencies to control, on Anakin to protect Padme and their future children, that it literally ended up turning him to the dark side. Had they taken their time, they could have built towards a plan that was mutually beneficial to both of them that would probably mean a quiet, isolated life of peace on another planet.
Yeah.
But they didn't take the time to work that out.
Damn.
I think a lot of people would see Meg singing I Won't Say I'm in Love as like a cynical denial of true feelings. But I think Meg is a great example of taking love at your own pace. That's a do. Take things at your own pace. Don't feel pressured to move more quickly than you're comfortable moving with someone, especially taking into account your relationship history and why it might be more difficult for you to trust someone. And certainly, don't feel pressure to tell anyone you're in love before you tell the person that you actually have feelings for. Do check in with and respect your own boundaries when it comes to how quickly you want to open your heart. The right person will be patient with you and simply give you a flower and a kiss on the cheek goodnight before he flies away.
Oh my God. Well, I'm over here with a love don't. As charming as he can be, you don't want to go the Aladdin route in the beginning of his story, where he's trying to change himself to win the affection of someone else. He's so preoccupied trying to make himself into the idea of what he assumes Jasmine wants that he's missing the whole big part of love, which don't assume anything. Let the other person speak for themselves. And Jasmine needs to be given that opportunity to say what she wants. And ultimately, that does happen in the movie when he comes in as Prince Ali Baba and you've got all the suitors and everything. And she's like, no one's asking me what I want. And she gives him some flack for it. And he does learn the lesson. But changing yourself based on an idea of what you think someone wants is never really going to work out in your favor, because either you're assuming something that is incorrect about them or you're not going to be the person at your heart of hearts that they actually want. So the way that I'm looking at love is I'm looking at different types of love. So I've done romantic love for a do. Now I want to look at some unrequited love as a do.
Okay.
So in terms of unrequited love, I think you want to be like Quasimodo in The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes, yes.
It's okay to have your crush fall in love, whatever it may be, like what Quasimodo has for Esmeralda. And if those affections are not returned, having the respect to honor the other person's decision is the kind of integrity that you want to have. Feel your feelings, sure. Sing your Heaven's Light reprise.
Oh.
And then love someone enough to let them make their own decisions. Because ultimately, if you don't, you'll lose them in any capacity. And Quasimodo, I think, fully realizes that he doesn't want a world in which Esmeralda is not a part of his life. And he actually has a role to play in hers. And there is a way forward. And he doesn't want to give up on that just because he is feeling his feelings over here. So I think he's a really good example of, of how to handle unrequited love. And it's hard. And he handles it with so much grace.
Yeah, he doesn't make it toxic at all. Yeah. Oh, good for him. Speaking of different kinds of love, you know, a love between a parent and a child. This is a pretty basic one, but don't belittle and ignore the people that you love. Seems pretty basic to me, but one Mr. George Banks struggles with this majorly. In his first interaction with his wife Winifred that we see in Mary Poppins, she's just trying to get him to realize that their children are missing. And then he essentially blames Winifred for hiring bad nannies for, like, all of their problems. After being constantly clueless, removed, and distant, suddenly he decides he is allowed to take the choice of the nanny into his own hands because he must know better, because he's the man, right? He also makes his children out to be ridiculous when they come and presents a pretty solid case for putting out a notice for a kinder nanny. He then has to be tricked into taking his children to work or caring for them in any way. And on the one day that they are his responsibility, he terrifies and loses them. There's really nothing much good happening here. If you don't want to make your partner and your children feel seen and loved, don't get married and don't have kids. For a do, I think sometimes it's good to allow romantic relationships to evolve, grow into other versions, and end if necessary, if that is what best serves the two people in the relationship. So I actually think Kermit and Miss Piggy are a good example of this. The two of them are very much opposites, and there are definitely things that have happened between them that would land on the love don'ts list, like when Miss Piggy tried to trick Kermit into marrying her on The Muppet Show. Then, in Muppets Take Manhattan, Piggy tried to say that their wedding that happened in Muppets Take Manhattan was real. But bear with me. The two publicly, as their public personas, not the characters in the films that they're where they're playing themselves, sort of, went through many years of on and off engagements, mixed signals. And then in 2015, they made an official announcement ending their relationship, saying, after careful thought, thoughtful consideration, and considerable squabbling, we've made the difficult decision to terminate our romantic relationship. It would have been very easy for the two of them to remain a couple just to keep up appearances, or because it's just easy considering what an iconic duo they are and they wouldn't know who they were separately. But they looked at aspects of their relationship that were unhealthy. And the fact that they could come clean about that and move on is very brave. And if this iconic pair can do it, then you can leave your clingy, toxic boo as well.
So for one of my don'ts, this one is kind of self-explanatory after my rant around this time last year, but do not be like Prince Charming in Cinderella, the animated version, where you're sending someone else out into the world to track down the person that you supposedly love. If you really, really love someone that much, have the decency to go do it yourself. Chase after the person that you love if you think it's something worth fighting for. Putting in that effort goes a long way to show the other person who you are. And he doesn't do that. And ultimately, if that passion isn't there to find the person that you love, it's not going to be there when that person is found. That passion is not going to be a part of the relationship. And it's a pivotal piece of the puzzle.
Please see He Has Charm for a Prince, I guess, from season one.
Yeah. Now I want to talk about love between siblings. And this one is fairly obvious. But Anna's love that she has for Elsa is fierce. And it is a beautiful way to love someone, especially your family. She never gives up on Elsa, even when Elsa has hurt her. she is determined to bring her sister back to Arendelle to make things right. And when Elsa freezes her heart, Anna still doesn't give up on Elsa. When she's faced with the chance to save herself or save her sister, even after all of the rejection, after all of the hurt, after literally having her frozen heart, knowing that she's about to die, she loves Elsa enough to try to save her. Mm. And it's only her constant and unrelenting love that is actually able to help Elsa heal her trauma. So that's, in my eyes, that is family. That is the kind of love to have for your family. Just that unconditional, unrelentless love, always.
Yeah. Yes. I think there's a don't going on in Frozen as well.
Oh.
And that's don't make someone you love hide who they really are.
Yeah.
I can't fully comfort King Agnar in Frozen because he was dealing with magical powers that had already threatened Anna's life. I understand the concern. But there's no way that telling a small child to conceal and not feel is ever going to lead them to growing into a mentally and emotionally healthy adult. He knew that Elsa's powers could be ignited by fear, anger, sadness. Why not instead try to cultivate a relationship of joy in and ownership of her powers? He's also fully aware of and in contact with magical members of his kingdom. Why not seek help when someone you love is suffering and in distress? Telling someone you love that their feelings aren't welcome is sending them the message that they are not enough as they are, or in this case, they are too much as they are, and essentially unlovable.
No.
Nope.
Hard pass.
And actually, related to your don't, here's a do from a different Prince Charming. So, do make the object of your affection feel special in a crowd and be clear about how you feel. You all know what I'm going to say. Prince Christopher in Brandy Cinderella. I've said it many times, but I'm going to say it again. It can't be Valentine's Day without me talking about this movie. Let me just make that clear.
Oh my God.
It can't be.
If you were waiting to take a shot in this episode for Caroline to mention Brandy Cinderella, take your shot.
Oh my God. Okay. I've said it before, but please may I once again bring your attention to the moment when he first sees Cinderella at the ball. He basically parts the crowd in order to meet her at the bottom of the staircase and delivers what is possibly cinema's sexiest chin lift so that he can look her in the eyes.
Ugh.
He does not play games. He then sweeps her away from the ball and into their own private swan fountain courtyard. After he tells her how he's feeling about her, he kisses her hands and her forehead like she is an actual angel, all while giving her direct eye contact and reassurance after reassurance. She runs away from that ball with absolutely no question in her mind as to how this man feels about her. And I want nothing less than that for everybody that I know.
When you're running away, at least you know that you were loved.
At least you know that you are wanted.
Yeah.
And that you are making that conscious choice to reject.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a love don't. As well-intentioned as she may be, I don't think that you want to love like Abuela does in Encanto, mm-hmm. where your love is expressed by an inflexible standard that must be met at all times. By not being willing to meet people where they are and understand that that can change from day to day, especially the ones that you love, you are cutting out an opportunity to actually deepen your relationship with that person. And you're causing that person to then stifle a part of themselves at all costs, which kind of speaks to a little bit of King Agnar.
Mm-hmm.
When all is said and done, even though it's not true, Abuela appears to only love someone in relationship to the value that their gift has on the community. That's conditional love. Instead, the person and the love between the two of you, that is the gift.
Mm.
And that's what should be treasured.
Mm.
And then on the good side, I'm going to talk a little bit about parental love as well, because with parental love, I think Bonnie and Stu Hopps are pretty wonderful parents.
Oh, they are. So, aww.
While they start in Zootopia as parents who are fearing for their child's future and trying to keep her safe based on what they know, they still fully support Judy when she decides to follow her dream of being a police officer, studying the academy, and then going to Zootopia to be an officer. When Judy is at her lowest, they happily welcome her back to their farm and support her. There's no question about that. They're like, you need to come back. You're here. They give her purpose so that she can feel that she's needed. She can feel that she's wanted. And then finally, they do one of the coolest things that you can do as a parent, which is admit that you learned from your child. They opened their minds and their hearts, inspired by Judy, to start working with Gideon Gray. And they knew in that moment that that is something that she needed to hear to inspire her. They recognized it and they told her. And they are really great parents who love Judy unconditionally. And they, you know, grow to be able to put her and her dreams first and inspire her when she needs it most. Which, it's a really beautiful arc for them as parents. And I think they do a really great job.
Oh, they do. I love them. Now, here's a don't where parental love and romantic love kind of intersect, and that sounds strange, but listen to what I have to say. So, a don't is, don't ignore your other loved ones if they bring up red flags about your relationship. And if your child sincerely dislikes your partner, pay attention. So, I'm talking about Nick Parker in The Parent Trap. When he asks Hallie, who's really Annie, of course, what she thinks of him and Meredith getting married, and she flips out, you would think he might want to inquire further about that. Meredith also drops several hints about her interest in Nick's money, and he only ends things with her when she says that he will have to choose between his children and her. And really, you never saw any hints that she was capable of that up until now? Come on, dude. Have some self-awareness and figure out if you're just looking for a rebound so that you can forget about the ex that you still love. The person that you want to marry has zero chemistry with your child? No.
No.
Red flag.
Red flag.
Pay attention. And for a do, it would almost be wrong, I feel like, if a Disney love list did not include this couple, Carl and Ellie from Up. A huge do is to want the best for the people that you love, even if that happiness doesn't always involve you. Knowing that the person that you loved was someone before you and will continue to be someone after you is beautiful and also extremely healthy. We often romanticize like all-encompassing love stories where people, you know, you never knew them when they were apart. But even though Carl and Ellie kind of are that and they grew up together and they are such an iconic pair, Ellie leaves Carl with the message that he should keep having his own adventures after she's gone. And I feel like that would be extremely difficult to do with people who grew up together who really don't know a lot of their lives apart. So the fact that proves to me that she really sees Carl and appreciates him as someone completely separate of her. And I love that.
Yeah. So my don't, you don't want to love so hard like Marlin does in Finding Nemo. He loves Nemo so hard that Nemo loses all sense of freedom to find himself by refusing to let Nemo explore, make mistakes, and learn. Marlin was protecting Nemo, but also building a wall between them. Rather than being a beacon of love and support, he was really like a cage for Nemo, which led to rebellion. And it's a classic case of loving so hard that you start to suffocate the other person on the other end. You got to let the relationship breathe, let it be a two-way street, and show love in the trust that you have for one another. Ultimately, Marlin gets there, but this helicopter parent, you know, kind of love in the beginning, it was really dangerous, and they ultimately sort of paid the price of that. And then my last love tip for you all is one about self-love. So when it comes to loving yourself I think there is a fantastic example in Moana. In I Am Moana, the Song of the Ancestors, Moana is reminding herself of who she is, the things she has accomplished, her worth, and what she is meant to do. It's literally like a song of affirmations that ends in her belting out, I am Moana, a moment of claiming her space, her power, and setting a course to literally save the world on her own. And this is a beautiful practice of reminding yourself of your value, and that's an act of love. And I think it's really important.
Oh, I love it. My last don't is actually about self-love as well. So don't forget to believe in and love yourself. And I think someone who could use a little bit more of this is Forky. Mm-hmm. Forky could use a bit more self-belief and self-love. Forky has a serious case of imposter syndrome. And that's when he's met with nothing but love and acceptance from his fellow toys. But he's just not able to take that from them. It's the perfect example of it becoming much more difficult to accept love from others if we don't think we are deserving of our own love and admiration. Also, so many of us laugh and relate with Forky calling himself trash, but like, maybe we can stop that in 2022 and stop believing that we aren't enough or we don't belong. Forky believes that he is only made for soup, salad, and the trash. And he loves the idea of trash because it feels like a voice telling you everything's going to be okay. I hope that we can all give that comfort to ourselves instead of throwing ourselves out, metaphorically, and putting ourselves down just because it's more comfortable.
I'm going to cut in and do my last don't right now so that we end on a high note.
Oh, I love it.
Because I feel like it's better to end with a do than don't. So my last don't also has to do with self-love. Because you don't want to go the other extreme. I think Cusco in The Emperor's New Groove takes self-love beyond the point of an attribute into the realms of vanity and ego. He puts himself first always, and even when presented with the consequences of his actions, he chooses not to care. Ironically, I think Yzma was really ignited into her villainy. Granted, she was always kind of like not a great person, but she was ignited into her villainy by Cusco arbitrarily firing her without really a regard for her life outside of the fact that he just doesn't want her there. So his obsession with himself leads him to an entire journey of self-discovery in the story. But it all began with him literally making everything about himself. And that's not hot.
That's not hot.
All right, bring us home with a good love do.
Okay, yes, let's end on a beautiful do. And the do is that do remember that friendship is love too, and that friendship can also be a really nice basis for a potential romantic relationship. So although Lizzie McGuire and Gordo have danced around a romantic relationship, they are a wonderful example of friendship being one of the most important types of love in our lives. Lizzie first kisses Gordo on the cheek because he writes in her yearbook, "You rock, don't ever change, and only I really mean it." This sweet message indicates that he takes Lizzie exactly how she is and loves her for it. And that's a wonderful basis for any friendship or any romantic relationship as well. Then, when the two have like their real kiss in the Lizzie McGuire movie, it's because Gordo tells Lizzie that she had everything that she needed inside her the whole time, even before her big Italian adventure. He constantly reinforces his belief that Lizzie has always been enough, just as she is. Maybe they end up together, maybe they don't, but because of that, I think whatever route they choose, their love for each other will remain.
Yeah.
I don't think that can ever be muddied by a romantic relationship because he truly just takes her and loves her for exactly who she is, flaws and all. Mm.
Well, there you have it, folks. That is our list of do's and don'ts in love, brought to you by Disney. And our fun little date nights for some truly crazy couples out there. So if you liked this episode, please remember to hit follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. Also, make sure to hit 5 stars and leave a review. That way other people can find the podcast. We're seen in search results. Maybe your review is going to be the difference between someone hitting play and someone not. So please take the 30 seconds that it might take to just tap in a few words. It means the world to us.
We would also love if you would follow us on social media. We are at Poor Unfortunate Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and at Unfortunate Pod on Twitter. We would love to hear your opinions from the episodes in the comments or in our DMs. We've been putting some fun polls up in the Instagram stories from our previous episode. And also, if you're looking for even more interaction with the podcast, please join our private Facebook group, The Poor Unfortunate Fam. So we have a really solid group going on in there right now of listeners that we know so much more about now. It really helps us craft the episodes, know what everybody is interested in hearing, hear opinions. One of our lovely listeners just came back from Disney World and we got to hear all about it. So it's just a really nice community and we would love to meet more of you. So please join us there.
And like I always say, it does take us a little bit of money to keep the podcast up and running and coming to you all. We do accept donations through our PayPal link that is in our episode description and on the website links in our social media accounts. Truly, every little bit goes a long way for us. You can donate $5, $10, more than that, make it monthly, make it a one-time donation. It all just goes right back into the podcast, helps us keep it free, helps us keep it, for the most part, ad-free as well. We've had so many people who have been so generous, and so if that's something that you're able to do as well, again, we really appreciate it. It all just goes right back into this and helps us do what we love and give you the stuff that you love to hear. Okie dokie. That's it.
Happy Valentine's Day, all you lovers.
Happy Valentine's Day. Oh, God. Well, until next time.
Beluga Savruga.